Hello, welcome to The American Pulse. I'm your host, Tony Rezac. This is a show that seeks to listen, express, and amplify the voice of the American people, no matter where you live in this great nation. We are unabashedly pro-humanity, pro-freedom, and pro-America. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, listeners, and thank you for tuning in to The American Pulse. There are few things more American than service to our country. We would have no nation without our soldiers, past and present, and we would have no nation without the fighting spirit that is America. It is as vital to our history and our future as our love of freedom, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yet so many of the young people that have gallantly served our great nation are forgotten once they have served their purpose, and this seems strange to me. The very men and women who have been trained to be mentally and physically their toughest are then left to drift. And this drift without clear direction or mission leads more often than we know to depression, suicide, and homelessness. Whenever an important phase in life is complete, something like military service, and a new one has not yet begun, it is often experienced as a dark night of the soul, a death of identity and purpose. And you need good people to help shine the light, as it can often be difficult to find it on your own. My guest today saw all this and created something with veterans in mind. Let's go chat with him about these very things. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by The Renton Printery. From huge outdoor banners to small hard hat decals, The Renton Printery produced top quality, customizable, full color decals, business cards, letterhead, envelopes, signs, table tents, and more. The Renton Printery is a small, independent, veteran-owned business since 1957. For all your printing needs, go to www.rentonprintery.com. And now, onto our episode. My guest today is Lucas Lovett. Lucas is a veteran that served almost 5 years in the Army Ranger program, four of them in special operations. He's also the executive director of Team Academy for Veterans, whose mission is dedicated to eliminating veteran suicide and homelessness by increasing the number of successful transitions to civilian life. Here is my interview with Lucas Lovett. Okay, I am here with Lucas Lovett, veteran and founder of Team Academy for Veterans, American Lucas Lovett. Lucas, welcome to the American Pulse. It is great to have you on the show.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. Thanks, Tony.
You bet. You know, you and I made a really good connection just by chance. You and I were both at an event a few weeks back, and there was some synchronicity, I think, that brought us to the same table, and then we just started chatting, and I just really love what you're doing in the veteran space right now. I think I'm just really excited. I want to support what you're doing. But I guess just to start off, before we get into all that, just where are you at before we get into like question one and like, you know, what were the ordeals in Army Ranger training and stuff? Where did you grow up? Where do you live now? And just at which branch of the military did you serve in for how long?
Sure. So I grew up in San Diego, California, and, you know, I went through grade school, high school, and after that, I joined the Army with the intention of being a Ranger. I wanted to be a Ranger since I was about seven, but I completed 5 years and four with 2nd Ranger Battalion up here in Washington. So currently, I'm with my wife down in Olympia, we love it here. I don't know that we're going to leave.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You hear about, you know, when I talked to you the first time I spoke with you, you know, it reminded me, my friend, Mark Jackson, one of my best friends, you know, he wasn't in the military. I think he really wanted to be in the military, and he really had this fascination with the elite training programs, the SEALs, the Rangers. And I think he read every book about it. I mean, I think in another life, he served in the special forces or something. And I wanted to ask you about kind of what the training, I'm really fascinated with stories about what men go through to, you know, to achieve what they're looking for, but also just the initiation of these elite fighting groups. And I remember my friend Mark said, you know,
I probably maybe could have made it through Ranger training. He goes, but there's no way I could have been a SEAL because I just don't like the water that much, right? And he's like, and he starts telling me about some of the shit they do in the water. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that just sounds miserable, you know? And so I guess I just wanted to ask you just to start with to give us a little sense of what it was like and, you know, what kinds of things did they put you through that people might be like, holy cow, because not everybody knows about what they go through. I think most Americans are like, oh yeah, they put them through hell. But I guess, like, what did you go through that was like super like, oh my God? And maybe was there anything that like the entire, you know, squad said, oh my God, like one that they really dreaded because of the legend of that exercise or whatever?
Yeah. So specifically to do with Ranger assessment and selection program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just ball busting the whole time. And you know, there's two, I guess, different sets of things that they're assessing you on. One's physical and one's mental. So I guess that the biggest thing that most Ranger candidates just absolutely dread is just the constant smoke sessions. And by smoke sessions, I mean, they're making you do these physical tasks or exercises until, you know, muscle failure or until someone quits.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are brutal. And you know, they go on for hours and hours and hours, no matter the time of day. I mean, it could be, you know, 4 o'clock morning, it could be, you know, 2 in the morning, you know, it could be noon, whatever it is. So I mean, they're just brutal. And one of the specific exercises, they call it the worm. And it's this, think of like a giant cylinder beanbag, and I want to say it weighs like 800 or 1,000 pounds or something, and you got a team of about 5 or 6 guys on each worm. And so, you know, that specifically, that will show you who the strong ones are physically and mentally and who are the weak ones.
Are they having you you have to carry it through the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll run with it. You know, they do this thing, you know, they'll call it overhead or front carry or squat, or you do sit-ups with them. I mean, it is absolutely insane. And so, you know, a lot of guys quit the first week. That's where you'll see the most
attrition,
the most
rate.
Fallout.
Yeah,
the attrition rate. And the attrition rate is super high. I mean, my class, I wanted to say we started with about 230 candidates, and my graduating the cohort I graduated with, it was about 30.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was just insane. And I mean, that's pretty standard. And I know, I think it was a class or two before, started with right around the same, but they finished with like 10 or 11.
Wow.
Oh yeah. It gets pretty gnarly.
Didn't you say to me that there was like, one of the things that I remember you saying was that there was like extreme sleep deprivation in some of them? Like you were like, yeah, days with no sleep. And I'm like, how the hell do they do that?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, there's two phases of RASP, right? The first phase is where they really dig into the physical and mental toughness. And that's where primarily all of the main selection happens. And so, you know, like I said, physical and mental, are you strong enough and in peak physical shape? Are you mentally tough enough where you'll never quit on your Ranger buddies? Are you strong enough mentally to face adversity, combat, and have the will and drive to complete the mission no matter what?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll say the Ranger Creed for you. And I mean, it's the core of being a Ranger, right? So it's great because each paragraph of the Ranger Creed, you know, the first letter of each paragraph spells out Ranger. Which is great, but is as follows: recognizing that I volunteered as a Ranger, fully knowing the hazards of my chosen profession, I will always endeavor to uphold the prestige, honor, and highest spirit of corps of my Ranger regiment. Acknowledging that the fact, a ranger is a more elite soldier who arrives at the cutting edge of battle by land, sea, or air. I accept the fact that as a ranger, my country expects me to move further, faster, and fight harder than any other soldier. Never shall I fail my comrades. I will always keep myself mentally alert, physically strong, and morally straight. And I will shoulder more than my share of the task, whatever it may be, 100%, and then some. Gallantly will I show the world that I am a specially selected and well-trained soldier. My courtesy to superior officers, neatness of dress, and care of equipment shall set the example for others to follow. Energetically will I meet the enemies of my country. I shall defeat them on the field of battle, for I am better trained and will fight with all my might. Surrender is not a ranger word. I will never leave a fallen comrade to fall into the hands of the enemy, and under no circumstances will I ever embarrass my country. Readily will I display the intestinal fortitude required to fight on to the ranger objective and complete the mission, though I be the lone survivor. Rangers lead the way. And so, you know, that kind of encompasses who a ranger is.
That is so badass. That is so badass, dude. How can you not be inspired by that as a young man? You know, so many young men don't have, you know, any purpose. I think it's one of the things that separates something like this from what I see a lot of the young men who are, you know, trying to find their way in the world, is a lot of them, they just don't have that. I mean, that is so crystal clear, right? About what you're about. And it so elevates the bar in terms of your own development, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, people in general, if they don't have purpose, then, you know, then they're going to go downhill wherever they are, but specifically yeah. Men. And, you know, you don't have purpose, it's nearly impossible to have a fruitful and successful life.
Absolutely.
And
go ahead. No, you got it.
Okay. Yeah. And so back to, you know, back to RASP and what I was telling you about previously. So that's the last week of the first phase. And you start, you know, you don't drive out in buses. You ruck to Coal Range. So it's a 12-mile ruck march. And then that's the beginning. You are very much encouraged to get there first, because you'll get just enough rest to, you know, you're waiting for everybody to get there. Mm. You know, and then you'll do a bag dump, make sure you have the entire packing list, or you'll pay the price. And that's really what Coal Range is to literally get your body in survival mode. And you know, before this, I just thought survival mode was, you know, kind of like a myth, you know, but it is a very much a real thing. I mean, you feel nearly no pain. You know, you can go much farther than you'll ever think possible just because you're in survival mode. I mean, the will of the human spirit is incredibly strong. And you know, that's the biggest strength and the biggest weakness, when going through selection. Your mind is your greatest strength, but it's also your biggest number one enemy.
I would think, and this is just from listening to the Creed and now twice talking to you about the training and what you go through, to me, this is like you're being trained not just as a combat soldier and a good teammate. To me, it's like the mental toughness and the physical strength and stuff. It translates into all sorts of things that you're going to meet in life. And so you would think, like, we're going to talk about Team Academy and how you Team Academy for Veterans, how you founded that. You would think that these would be some of the most sought after men for all sorts of things in the civilian world. But one thing that we've realized, like, I don't know if you ever saw, you probably saw the film with Bradley Cooper. Was it called American Sniper? Did I have that right?
American Sniper.
Yeah. And, you know, there's been a series of, you know, over the decades, there's been a series of Hollywood military films. That one stood out to me because I think it showed he was an elite sniper in an elite unit in Afghanistan or Iraq. I think it might have been Iraq. and couldn't figure out how to cope in civilian life. He got so used to the adrenaline rush and was so good as a soldier that when he came back, there wasn't anything that was exciting at all. There wasn't anything that society was offering him that could compare to what he felt like he did best, which is to be a combat soldier and a sniper. And it showed something to me and the viewers of the movie that maybe we don't understand. You know, like when you talk about the training of a ranger, it seems like that sets up a ranger better than any young man for a whole variety of things. Yet your experience, and I'm curious about this, did you feel like coming out of your training and coming into civilian life, there was a lot of opportunity or even a good off-ramp where they say, hey, you've been trained to be a top soldier, but now you're not going to be a top soldier. You could go into these different areas and kill it. I would think there would be some sort of off-ramp that the military or a military civilian partnership offers veterans that have trained so hard to such a high level. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, across the board in the military, there's, you know, certain boxes that you need to check in order to get out and get your DD-214, right? So for the Army, it's the, it's called the TAP, Transition Assistance Program. And, you know, that alone, it's very much check the box, go do this, go to this meeting or this classroom or whatever. And, you know, more times than not, it's death by PowerPoint. You're just sitting in this, you know, auditorium or classroom or whatever. And, you know, you got this monotone speaker who does this every single day and, you know, it just slide after slide after slide. And, you know, I looked around, you know, when I was going through it, and, you know, people are either on their phone or literally sleeping. So, you know, they're ready to be done. They're ready to be, you know, free again. Because, I mean, you in the military, you're government property. You are literally government property. And if you get a sunburn and, you know, whoever your leadership doesn't like you, they can literally give you an Article 15 for damaging government property. So, you know, that's a huge piece of it. So, you know, a lot of these soldiers, they have super senioritis, essentially, right? They're ready to go, you know, let me be free again. And another issue with that super senioritis, just want to get out, they don't take into account what they're going to do when they get out.
Right.
So, I mean, a lot of people end up going to college to figure it out or whatever, you know, but more times than not, nobody has a job lined up, you know, especially if you get out abruptly, like you get med boarded or something like that. So I was medically discharged and I had, I think, another 2 years on my contract. So I had zero time. I had to out process and then that was pretty much it. So that was a huge shock as soon as I got my DD-214. Granted, I felt, you know, the freest I've ever felt, you know, up until that point, which was great. But, you know,
you probably weren't.
What do I do now?
Yeah, you probably weren't coming out with a huge bank account where you're like, oh, I've got, you know, I got time to figure this out because I've got X amount in the bank. You know, I don't need to rush.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're probably like, well, I kind of got to get figure this out fairly quickly, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't make much, you know, you definitely don't go into the military to make a ton of money.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, there was no time. And I think it took me a month after I got out, you know, and I had been looking for jobs before I even got out. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find anything. I couldn't get any interviews, nothing. And then, you know, finally I got a job at a Home Depot warehouse, like shipping facility for like 19 or 20 bucks an hour.
Yeah.
So it was just like, oh, you know, the government spent, you know, what, $1 million training me, you know, to get to this point. And now I'm, you know, my worth is $19 an hour driving a forklift in a warehouse.
Yeah.
You know, so that sucks. You know, it's just a huge kick in the balls.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I mean, the finding a job, you know, it was pushed on me, you know, when I was thinking about getting in or even while I was in, oh, people are just going to fight to hire you. You know, you're just so qualified, you know, all these different things. And, you know, that just wasn't the case. And it might be the case for the career guys for sure, who are in for 20 years, more times than not, whatever they're finishing in, there's a government job that's directly adjacent to whatever they're doing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was like my grandfather. My grandfather did 37 years in the Navy, and then, you know, his last post, whatever he was doing, he literally retired and went back to the exact same office, the exact same desk, and just continued working there. So, you know, for career guys, I'm sure it's a lot easier, but for those of us who either get out abruptly or do one or two contracts, it's a different story.
I would think there would be a lot of people like you, a lot of veterans that feel like they've been forgotten and they've been, they're left behind without something that's like, oh, this would be a cool career. Like, you know, who's helping the veteran kind of figure it out? I mean, was that the reason you started Team Academy for Veterans? I'm curious as like, you know, the impetus, and then, you know, how do you figure out how to help them, I guess, is another question. And then lastly, like, what are you envisioning Team Academy for Veterans? Like, what would be like a home run if you look down the line, say 5-10 years from now, you know, what kind of organization would you like to see it be built into, I guess?
Yeah. So, how I came about it was, I really looked into, and this happened after one of my, my friends took his own life, who's a veteran. And, you know, it, of course, it absolutely broke my heart. And, you know, it's like, oh, the suicide rate among, you know, not just active duty, but the veterans as well. I mean, it is so high. Same with the homelessness rate. Whatever the government is telling you, oh, it's decreased, you know, this much over, you know, this many years, it's garbage. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many homeless veterans do you see on the street on a day-to-day basis? How many veterans do you see, you know, on social media or otherwise who took their own life? You know, it's really, really sad. And so, you know, I did some further digging, and, you know, I'd found that, you know, the number one reason for the rates being as high as they are is because of the unsuccessful transition to civilian life. And, you know, everybody knows that, oh, the transition is going to be hard, but they don't know how hard it's going to be until they do. I mean, when you enlist, you are issued a task and a purpose. And, you know, that is your whole life. Your entire life is centered around this purpose. The moment you get your DD-214, that purpose is immediately taken from you, and you have to start over and figure it out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's that, and that's a huge issue in these programs getting out. Of course, there are plenty of great programs that the government offers for, you know, service members and veterans. The issue is, you know, specifically with the Transition Assistance Program, very much check the box, and you really have to pay very close attention in order to get anything out of it.
Yeah.
And when you get out, you get a call in 6 months, and you're like, oh, how are you doing? You know, we're hard headed, and, you know, we're like, I'll figure it out. So, you know, you get that call and you're like, yeah, I'm fine, whatever. So, you know, service members and veterans as a whole, generally very, very stubborn, hard headed people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like handouts. They, you know, none of that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that brings me to my next point is, you know, the stigma around, you know, mental health issues and stuff like that, you know, specifically speaking with depression, You know, and that doesn't just go for the military, that goes for, you know, everybody, but specifically men in general.
Sure.
You know, we don't really talk about our, you know, I wouldn't say feelings, but whatever we're going through, we just kind of suck it up and continue mission. And you know, there's that's a huge issue. So when I found this, I'm like, okay, well, how can we fix this problem? And, you know, at this point I'm in school right now at Evergreen State. And there's this program, it's called Business Fundamentals Changemaker Lab. And what this program is, it's a business and entrepreneurship class, but it really is a more of a life development class than, I mean, it's very much business second. And you know, I've been in this program for 3 years now, and you know, each year I've learned more and more and more about myself and, you know, the endless opportunities I can generate for myself. And you know, a huge piece would be what we call vision, personal vision, and learning contract. So, you know, personal vision is kind of exactly what it sounds like. What is your perfect life look like? If everything that you could possibly ever want in life existed, what does that look like to you? And the reason it's super important isn't just to imagine a perfect life. It's also to keep it in the back of your head. You know, your subconscious mind works 24/7, 365, whereas your conscious mind only works as long as you're awake. And, you know, you constantly go over to your vision and keep it in the back of your mind. Your subconscious mind will literally point things out to you that you wouldn't otherwise notice. Like a conversation that, you know, is loud enough for you to hear across a room or something, and they bring up something that's in your vision. You're like, oh, wow, I just heard that one phrase out of that whole conversation. I'm going to go talk to that person.
Lucas, it sounds to me like Team Academy for Veterans, you're helping them in a process that where they come out with the vision moving forward for them, almost like helping them find the mission that's going to inspire them to move into the next phase. Is that correct?
Right. And so it's not just that, but it also goes into teams of teams and learning by doing. And these things are really important. You know, I mean, for visual and hands-on learners, you can't just sit in a classroom and regurgitate information that you'll never use.
Right.
You know, you have to learn a skill. You have to learn something that you is useful to you, not just whatever this school or institution or workplace is telling you you need to know. And so, you know, for me, I never thought that I would ever start a nonprofit or start my own company. I never even crossed my mind. But, you know, having the vision that I have, it pointed specifically at this thing, which is there's a huge problem among the veteran community that nobody really cares about or talks about. And I mean, we hear thank you for your service all the time, but how many times out of 10 is that genuine? Mm-hmm. You know, like, not really. It's really not genuine. It's just something that people are expected to say, mm-hmm. you know, or think they're expected to say. And so that's the issue. You know, everybody talks about, oh, veterans problem, this and this and this, but nobody actually does anything about it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think I'm the guy to do that, whether that's reforming whatever processes are there or having them adopt my process. Well, it's not even my process. It's derived from this organization called Team Academy or Teamia Academia in Finland. Mm. And so that was started by a professor by the name of Johannes Partanen. And, you know, he had read this book. It was Wisdom of Teams, Fifth Discipline, and Action Learning. And he was like, oh, these are very interesting theories. Let's see if we can, you know, actually prove that this theory works. And so he was like, okay, well, he posted on these poster boards, you know, or these, you know, whatever, cork boards around his campus and said, you know, earn your marketing in 3 years, travel the world. And so he ended up taking 12 people, you know, first to China and said, okay, go and figure out how to make money and live. And then, it, you know, earn enough to where you can live and buy your ticket to the next place. And so that's how this Team Academy started. And, you know, it forced these people to learn by actually doing it.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah, which is amazing. And so, you know, you can learn anything by just doing it. I mean, I taught myself every, you know, construction skill I have by renovating my house by myself. You know, which
clicking on YouTube videos, right?
Exactly. I mean, everything's on YouTube. Everything. Yeah. You know, so I mean, I'm like, I don't have the money to pay a contractor to do this, so I'm going to do it myself.
Well, one of the things you're saying, Lucas, too, that I love is that, you know, you're like, you know, the government, they've got this like death by PowerPoint, these young men coming out of the military, you know, they're not necessarily wanting to sit and listen to some bureaucrat drone on, right? You guys grew up as gamers. You're like, everything's gamification and like, you know, it's not the right learning environment. And for you to come out of that and say, look, I think we need to build something that is us, you know, the veterans that understand what's going on, understands how we learn. I think it's so smart. I'm really excited about what you got going on. I think part of your success too, it's going to come from the different partnerships. When you were talking, I did an episode back on Basecamp for Men, episode 262, I did with it's called Bitcoin for Military Veterans with Gabe Lord. And I want to connect you with him because he's doing a whole bunch of things with veterans and around Bitcoin. And I think there could be a natural collaboration there and sharing of resources. And I think as you start to get plugged into some of these thought leaders and other entrepreneurs that are building really cool stuff and they get to know who you are, I think your whole thing could really take off in a really probably unexpected direction, but also you're really open-minded. I just love everything that you're doing. I'm super excited to make that connection. And yeah, is there anything else you want? We got to wrap up here in the next 5 minutes or so. Is there anything else that's coming up for you that you would like? Where can people find Team Academy for Veterans? Where can they find you? And kind of what kinds of things you got coming up maybe in the coming months that you want our listeners to know about?
Sure. You can find me at my website. It's taveterans.org. You can also just email me directly, loveit.lucas@gmail. And, you know, I also have Instagram. I just made an Instagram yesterday, I believe. It's also TA Veterans. And, you know, as far as, you know, what I got going on next, I don't have any huge events planned. I mean, I know we got the Lincoln Day dinner. That's going to be amazing. I'm really looking forward to that.
Me too.
It's going to be a good time. Right now I'm looking to build, you know, my first cohort of veterans. And, you know, I'm looking for, you know, any sort of, you know, donations or grants or partnerships, you know, to really get this thing moving. And, you know, I just know what this process does, you know, to people, especially veterans. I've known, you know, a good handful plus of veterans who've gone through this program in school and who've become extremely successful. And not just that, you know, I was able to, you know, I started with trying to help homeless veterans. And, you know, if I can help them, I can help anybody. Right. And so I was only able to help this, you know, one veteran who was homeless. And I mean, within 3 weeks, he had a job and he was off the street. So, I mean, it's an extremely powerful process if it's done with the right people and the right team.
I love it. I love it. Lucas, good luck with everything. We're going to be tracking you and supporting you every step of the way. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Lincoln Day dinner with the other veterans that'll be there. I'm just super inspired by what you got going on. You got a good heart, and I like the way that you're conducting these early stages of your organization. And we're going to be hopefully helping grow it. And I just really believe in what you're doing. So nice work, and thanks for coming on the American Pulse today.
Hey, I appreciate it, Tony. It's really been a pleasure.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. We'll be tracking this development and looking to support Lucas and Team Academy for Veterans at each phase, and I hope you'll join me. Thank you, listeners, and we'll see you next week on The American Pulse.